What do you do when life happens? I'm going to be looking in the Psalms. I'm going to be looking specifically at the 46th Psalm here after a while. If you want to turn to that and hold steady with it, it'll be a little bit later that I'll get to that. What do you do when life happens? Will you bow your head with me as we ask God to help us in this time of service? Father, thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for meeting with us on this Lord's Day. Thank you for the reality that you are a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that you are our Father, and that Christ is our elder brother. Thank you for all that that provides for us. As we look into your word this morning and look into the truth of your word, I pray that you would give us that anointing that is needed. You know my weakness, but I pray in my weakness that your strength will be made real. In my lack, you will be exalted. Trust in you this morning. I need you and your anointing. We need you and your anointing. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. What do you do when life happens? You can't listen to the news. You can't read too much of anything. You can't hear without hearing and understanding that life happens all around us, and life as we know it is full of all kinds of sadness and sorrows. I was hearing about the drought of the upper Midwest, I guess northern Illinois, perhaps up into Montana and Minnesota. The farmers are crying for rain, and there's no rain. Not only are the farmers needing rain and their crops are already too far gone that rain isn't going to help them, but then they had a huge hailstorm that destroyed what crop they did have left. I don't farm. I don't have the livelihood of farming, and nobody here that I know of has a strict livelihood of farming, but that would have to be devastating at the end of the day. The hardship that would provide, that would create. Or the hurricane in Louisiana. I read this morning that there's still 700,000 plus people without power. When did that hurricane hit? A week ago, wasn't it? A week ago today? 700,000. Without power for a week. For a week. I get upset when Nathan doesn't get our power back on in a day. You know, we're calling and texting. Hey, what's going on? What happened? Is there any way that we can get this back on? You know, we're blessed. That's one of the blessings that we have right here, is having Nathan on our line. Or at least close. 700,000 without power, besides the floodwaters and the wind damage and all the destruction, the discouragement that comes to the human heart and mind through that kind of devastation in their possessions. I guess there's a lot of flooding as well out east. Some Pennsylvania, parts of Pennsylvania and New Jersey, the flooding, the losses. You know, what do we do when life happens? Well, you know, we don't have to worry about that kind of heavy hurricane stuff because we live here. But how many of you elected to live here? Your family settled here, and so you have continued to live here for the most part. Some of you have gotten, you know, brave and have moved out and distant places, but you know, That's the way it is for a lot of people in their particular places. Life happens. Difficulties take place. Flooding. Dryness in the same country. And the losses that it creates. We're not so far removed, even though the news media would like for us to be removed from it. We're not so far removed from the devastation and the chaos in Afghanistan, the loss of lives in Afghanistan. There's still aching hearts right here in our area because of that circumstance and tragedy. Loss of life militarily. Loss of life religiously, loss of freedoms. You know, I don't want to go into it this morning, but it's mind-boggling and heart-wrenching to think about the women and the girls and the stories that come from that. Now, that's over in Afghanistan and all of that that's taking place over there. But I watched and I listened to a young person talk about being sold into slavery, that kind of slavery, right here in the United States at the age of 14. In the United States, we have heartache and heartbreaks. The devastation of that woman's mind today. I think about this pastor in Evansville that lost his wife. They really thought that she was going to get better. They really expected her to mend. They believed that God would raise her back up. I saw the Facebook post, and it was posted just a couple of hours before I saw it, that was saying that it looked like that the doctors and the medical profession had done all that they could, and the family had reached that point that they were willing to change directions and looked at comfort care and hospice. The next time I pulled up Facebook, and there was the post 45 minutes prior that she had already slipped away, and the heartache of the family. The family in Illinois that lost the dad, the pastor, the church losing its pastor, a young man, way too early in life. Think about a family that lives in Kentucky and they have three children, and two of them have the same cancerous situation, and they make trips back and forth to a hospital in Cincinnati. And at one point in the last month, both of those girls were in the hospital. Difficulties, numbers were low, problems were existing and happening, and their hearts were breaking. Doctor gives a frightening prognosis to somebody in the family. Perhaps it's a spouse, or maybe it's a parent, or maybe it's personal. Health issues all around us. Untimely deaths. Son kills father. Father and husband kills his wife and children. Real news, real happenings, real things that take place all around us. The heartache and the problems of life. What do we do? What do we do when life happens? Ira Wilson penned the words, I believe, in 1909. Out on the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Frank Mason North in 1903 said, in haunts of wretchedness and need, on shadowed thresholds dark with fears, from paths where hide the lures of greed, from tender childhood's helplessness, from woman's grief, man's burdened toil, from famished souls, from sorrow's stress. Well, it just sounds like there's problems. One man centuries ago, we know him as Job of the land of Uz. He said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. What a discouraged lot. What do you do when life happens? Couldn't help but think as I was preparing and my mind was going in so many different directions earlier in the week with this particular passage of Scripture, I couldn't help but think of a man back in the 1800s that suffered so greatly. 1870, his 4-year-old son died of scarlet fever. In 1871, there was a great fire in Chicago that wiped out his vast estate that he had built from a successful legal career. 1873, detained by business, he sent his wife and 4 daughters to Europe with the intent of following later, only to find a telegram coming to him from his wife that simply stated, saved alone, because the ship went down and his 4 daughters, age 11, 9, 5, and 2, went down with it. 3 more children were born to Horatio and Spafford and his wife. One of them, another son, and in 1880, I understand that that son died as a 4-year-old as well. How can one person handle all of that? What do you do when life happens? Horatio Spafford penned the words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot," he said. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, he experienced them, didn't he? But he found them to be satisfied. He found the satisfaction in God that his soul longed for, even in the midst of troubles and trials. If you have your Bible open to the 46th Psalm, you'll see here some words that are expressed from what we know of as the sons of Korah. And I don't want to take the time, don't have the time this morning to go into all of the background of the sons of Korah, but they had some troubles, they had some difficulties. As a matter of fact, these sons of Korah that penned this Psalm should not have even been alive, because if you go back into Numbers chapter 16, you'll find that that family was supposed to have been wiped out, but somehow God preserved somebody. Maybe it was because these 2 or 3 or so boys decided that they weren't going to follow that direction and they wanted to follow God, but they were not without problems. They followed David. They understood King David's issues. They realized all of the problems of life. They had seen it with their eyes. They had even experienced some of it with their own personal experiences. And yet then we find these words penned for us today. God is my refuge and strength. Do you see it there? He said, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. It sounds like a problem world. It sounds like they've experienced something of negative activity. There's all kinds of discouragements that were going on. He said, or they write these words, that even though it's a great tragedy all around, they stop and pause with that word Selah. Take notice of it this morning, that even in the midst of all of that tragedy, the writer here of Psalm 46 is saying, stop, meditate on it, because God is our refuge and strength. after all of that problem that he's talking about, and they use the word Selah. In verse number 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The heathens or the nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. Verse number 7. Boy, it sounds trouble, doesn't it? The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge or our fortress. Which word do you prefer? It doesn't matter to me which word you prefer. You can select either one of them. If you want the King James translation there, that's fine. That God of Jacob is our refuge. If you want the English Standard, then there it is. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It doesn't matter which one you want this morning. The reality of it is that God is our castle. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. He is our strength in the midst of all of the problems and negativity. Verse number 8, the writers go on, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease upon the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Does verse 11 sound familiar? It's because he's repeating it from verse number 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Another writer said that he is our high tower. We can run to him. We can hide in him. We have peace in him that passeth all understanding when we make him and realize he is our fortress and our refuge. Though the earth be shaken, though the earth be moved, no matter what happens, it crumbles around us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What do you do when life comes your way? What do you do when Murphy's Law knocks at your door? Things happen. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. But thank God this morning for the refuge we have in him. And when we make our refuge in him, we can sing with Horatio Spafford, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul because he is our high tower. He is our fortress. He is our strength. And you and I can rely on him this morning without fail, without falter, because he is. He is. Get your songbook with. Take your songbook out and turn to song number 554. And let's close out with Spafford's song that we love. It is well with my soul.